It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
All right. It's gonna be all right. It's really gonna be all right. It's gonna be
all right. Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for the second Lord's Supper experience in our ministry today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Turn them, if you will, to the book of Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, we want to commence reading at verse 28. Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 28, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have shown you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Paul has gathered the elders of the church together, and he's giving his farewell speech, as it were, and putting them in remembrance of things he has taught and shared and shown them. And then he warns them to be mindful and attentive to the matters that God has given them control of or charge of. And he starts in this 28th verse with a word of admonishment and warning to the shepherds. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." One of the things that's most important, and every shepherd should be aware of this, and it even extends to every leader, that before you can shepherd or lead, you've got to first be mindful of yourself. In other words, Paul says, get yourself together before you get your sheep together. Leaders, get yourself together before you lead those to whom you have the leadership ability. And he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, comma, and conjunction, to all the flock." So this warning is not just to themselves to be mindful and to take heed, to be alert and to be about the business of the Lord for themselves, but also for the sheep that God has given them by the Holy Ghost the charge over. For the word says, "And to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers."
Now, one of the things that's important to understand, again, for both shepherds and sheep, is this very fact. Jeremiah 3:15 says that God gives pastors according to his own heart that will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. And so it is important to know that if the church belongs to God, it is under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, that church folk don't select and elect pastors.
Amen.
And it is good to know that though we have a system of government and a system of democracy, as it were, we sometimes follow the flow of the world. We really don't have a democracy in the church. We have a Christocracy, meaning it is what Christ says that matters and not what you think. It is important that if we understood that the church don't vote on what God says, the church follows what God says. God is eminently not concerned about your opinion. How do you say that, Pastor? Because your opinion is not written in his word. You got folk who can't run their own households want to come in the church of God. You got men who can't be men at their own houses who want to try and control things at the church. You got folk who may be in a position in the world who try to bring that authority in the church. What you are outside those doors, when you come in those doors, you check it at the door. Ain't no big eyes and no little U's. You can be sitting next to some powerful people in the world, but then those powerful people are sitting next to some powerful people in the world. God is no respecter of persons. And so it is important to know that even those who are in position must understand to whom much is given, much is required. It doesn't mean that you get all the praise and the glory. It means that there is a heavier penalty for the labor and the reward both that God gives to you. So that means that you have got a greater accountability than those in leadership position than those who are in fellowship position. It just means if you're a leader, you got more work to do. And we have twisted our titles to become celebrities rather than servants. That's why some brothers want to join the deacon ministry, or the sisters want to join the deaconess ministry, or somebody want to be in the front here doing that, because it gives them a status, if you will, of celebrities, that people know me because I do this. And so the word is a warning to those of us who are in authority. We ought to walk with humility, recognizing what God has bested in our position. Because even if the person ain't all they ought to be, the position is. And so when you recognize, as Paul gives this warning to the elders, he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost." The Holy Ghost. That means if this is the case, then the Holy Ghost, by God's word, has selected the pastor or leader of a congregation. Now, because of what we have added to our policy and polity and the way churches run, we let the members take a vote. So what I need you to understand is God, like he did with Satan, make you think you're running stuff by an election. But the selection was up to God. And all you elected was what God selected. And he made you think you did it. Somebody don't hear me here. And then the one he selected is going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. And he's going to help you to understand it ain't your business, but God's business that we're here to do. And so when we understand this, look again at this text, because he says, over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers. Now, what he made you overseers, pastors and shepherds for? To feed the church of God. So the shepherd that God has placed in the role of pastor or shepherd or leader is to feed the flock or the local fellowship that God has gathered. Now, what the shepherd has got to realize is that the sheep don't belong to him. And so when Peter was asked by Jesus, "Do you love me?" What Peter had to recognize was that Jesus knew that if he didn't love him, he would not take care of his sheep right. Because sheep, if you know the characteristic of sheep, then you know sheep are something to deal with. I could tell you about yourself, but you might get a little angry. So I'll tell you anyhow. Sheep are timid. Sheep are known biblically as being dumb. Sheep will be on the path and following, and a notion will hit them and they'll go in a whole nother direction. Sheep will be standing on the banks of the river with all of that water for their drinking and will die of thirst. Sheep, if they are knocked down, will lay there kicking. Ain't got sense enough to know they can roll back over and get up on their feet. I can tell you some more about sheep, but I just want you to know. That's why he called you sheep. All you gotta do, look at some of them saints who aren't here today because somebody hurt their feelings and they knocked them down, and so they still at home right now. Done got out the choir, done left this ministry, done left the next ministry, done left this position because they ain't got sense enough to know they can get right back up again. That's why David said, listen, in the 23rd Psalm, he leadeth me beside. Well, when a shepherd was taking a flock from one pasture to another, and many times he'd go down by the river, he'd go down by the sea, or he'd go to places where the water was rushing and moving, knowing the timidity of the sheep, he knew they wouldn't drink, being right there on the banks. So he would take his staff and go down to where the water was, and he'd stick his staff in, and he'd dig a trench. And he'd dig a trench, and he'd dig it back far enough away so that the sheep, when the water and the high tide would come in and fill the trench and bring the water back on up to the seashore, they would drink where the waters were still and not rushing and moving, because he knew he would have been taking sheep that would have died on the journey because they were too stupid. Oh, I'm sorry. Dumb is the word. To get them some water. And then on top of that, sheep don't know when to sit down. They don't know. That's why the word says, "He maketh me to lie down." But then God puts you where you can at least be restored while you're resting. In green pastures. A whole lot of you, the reason why a whole lot of us, we drop when we stop is because we don't have sense to take breaks.
Yes, Lord.
I'll go on and finish preaching some more of this word here. Listen what the word says. Feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So shepherds are never to forget that the sheep belong to God. Jesus Christ paid for each one of our lives with his own blood, purchased and saved us with his own blood with a great price. Not one shepherd could ever save any sheep because we're not worthy to save ourselves. And so we should never forget that. But look what he says in verse 29. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Now, Paul has given this word. He's established many of these churches, and he has set local pastors as the Spirit of God had given that anointing upon their lives to lead the flock. And he's warning these elders and telling them what to look for. Because you know the old adage in the world, when the cat's away, the mouse will play. Well, he's saying in the same regard, when the bishop, the head of the church, is gone,
than the wolves who know he who has the authority to not only see him but to get rid of him will then come in because of others who don't know, nor do they understand or comprehend the fullness of what God has called them to be and to do. And as that result, because you got to know the devil is full of tricks, he's full of cunning ways, and he will come in. And everybody that's in leadership position isn't a leader. And every preacher isn't a pastor. And so to have a preacher in the pulpit instead of a pastor in the pulpit means you get only half of the package. You catch that on your way going home. But because preaching is one thing, pastoring is another. Someone who is given to this position must be able to do both according to God's standard, not man's standard. And so here is the point. Here he says that grievous wolves are going to enter in, not having the anointing, not being called of God, but because those who are in charge, not recognizing the qualifications and the ability of the shepherd to lead and to guide and to do what God has given them the ability to do, will elect people and put them in the pulpit who will tear the church up. Instead of growing the church, they will destroy the church. Look at what the word says. I want you to see it. He says, verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. He said, while I was here looking and watching as bishop and knowing and seeing things out of order and calling those things back in order and calling those folk that were out of order, when I leave and you hadn't learned and hadn't adopted and hadn't functioned and flowed under the anointing, there are going to be some folk right out of your own church who's going to rise up against you. And they're going to get their own little cliques together. And when they think they got enough power and they got enough people, then they're going to rise up and go start their own thing, because they're going to listen to one fool trying to persuade them from listening to what the word said. Now, let me tell you what the word says about being in part of what God has given to another man. First, the word says that you've got to be faithful in that belongs to another man. Let me tell the snakes and the backbiters and the hypocrites and the folk who think they got something going on behind God's back. I know I ain't talking about it in my ministry, but this is for those who listen by radio and... I need you to understand that nobody can take what God has given to them. Let me help you understand the thing. If T.D. Jakes were to come across the street and start a ministry and took up that whole technological park over there as his new ministry, a lot of pastors would be shaking in their boots. Oh, Lord, my funeral member's going to leave me. I would thank God for T.D. Jakes coming across the street from me, like I thank him for the other pastors and leaders that he sent to our city and who are starting ministries in our city, for this reason. First of all, when you have been called and anointed and appointed by God, you know that God has given you what he has assigned to you. Can't no preacher, no pastor, no apostle, no bishop, no nobody come and take what God has given to you. Because the Bible says the shepherd that he gives to that sheep, that sheep is going to hear his voice. And I don't care how sweet the tone and how beautiful the moan may be, when they get through, they might visit now and they might have a good time, but when their soul gets hungry, they make a beeline right back to where God has deposited a word so rich. And so what happens is, many times, is the folk who do leave wasn't meant to be here in the first place. So it clears out some room from all of that stuff for some real folk to come on in here. Because you do understand, sometimes what we got in here prevents what God wants to send here from getting here. Let me give you a good case in point. It's like after service. God knows I love my members, and I thank God for my members, and I appreciate the love they have for that pastor. But I need to throw this out right now because I'll deal with this later. At the end of service, I have new members who have come in, have given the right hand of fellowship, have been baptized also for all that good stuff, or have joined from other ministries. God led them in, blah, blah, blah. This is a new phase and level in that ministry, so forth and so forth. God ministers to them. I have folk over in the overflow watching right now, sitting on chairs over there, watching a big monitor over there, who after service want to just come and say, Pastor, you bless me. Thank you, Pastor. Some brother way back in the back, man, God just spoke to his heart. Bam, right there. Met him right where he was. Gave him that. Want to come up and say thank you. But I got members who come up every Sunday. Now, don't. Hold up. I want you to know I appreciate them. But I need them to realize that there are some other sheep who's trying to get to the shepherd. Who ought to say, and listen, and then on top of this, when you come and shake my hand, say, God bless you, Pastor, and move on. This ain't conference time. Call my secretary. Get you a conference. Don't stand up here and tell me about your problems, because I'm going to have to tell you I got other sheep who just want to say, you've been a blessing, Pastor. That just want to touch hands with the man that's touching hands with God. And so I need you to understand, it's all right. You just stand back and let them come first. Let them go first, and you wait in line. I said, because listen, I know God deposited some stuff in your spirit every week. And so there are just some who are too shy. There are just some who are ungrateful. And I see you in malls and see you different places or whatever, and you, hey, Pastor, what's your name? Because they've never, you know, shaken my hand, never come up to speak, never said anything. And then what they're most crying is, I can't ever get to you, Pastor. So I want members starting this Sunday who's been with us 1 to 3 years and have never come up and shaken my hand after service. It might not be your Sunday this Sunday, but from this point on, 1 to 3 years, come on up and just shake hands and say, Pastor, my name is so-and-so. Glad to be a part of the ministry, whatever the case is, and move on. Now, if we need a conference, we call and set that up and let's talk. I want to do that. But it's a way we do things decently in order. Because here's what somebody might need to do. They might need a touch that God's going to anoint to take them through whatever they're getting ready to go through this week. And they, again, might not be able to wait as long because they could be riding with somebody. Might be riding on our transportation ministry buses or so forth. So we need to do things decently. Now, I don't want those folk who come and shake hands with me all the time to get mad. I ain't gonna shake a hand no more. But if you take that attitude, praise be God. I just want us to do things decently and in order. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Now, where was I? Now, look at what this word says. Therefore, watch. Because even the people that come out of a church and start their own little thing and try to get this, that'll try and pull folk away to their own persuasion and to their own thing. How you gonna go pick out some folk out of my? I like you coming to my house and you gonna walk up in my closet and say, I want this suit, I want this suit, I do, without me inviting you. And listen to this, if you leave here trying to start your own thing and don't leave here right, you're gonna have a curse on it because you didn't do it God's way. Anybody leaves out of my ministry and starts another ministry without my blessing as the head of this ministry and the father of this flock, gonna have some issues with God. I ain't got to run behind you. I don't care about who goes with you, because what I know is you and them gonna miss your blessings because you didn't do it God's way. And listen, it is the blessing of that ministry for me to have a son or daughter that God raises up in this ministry to expand and extend the gospel to others in different ways doing it. I thank God that God has placed ministers under me to learn and to grow and to develop. They're not here to stay. I recognize that. But also, if they try to run before their time, then they're going to miss their blessing, because when it's time, we're all going to be in agreement about it. And so then we as a church will go over and bless and sow into their lives and help to establish them. And whenever they come back home, it's a great celebration. But when they leave out the wrong way, they can't even show their face. They're scared to let folks see them in the public. Where are you now? Oh, I'm just around. I'm busy. Yeah, all right. Listen. Verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He's talking about the sincerity of him ministering to them, helping them to know, feeding them, giving them direction, instruction, etc., etc. Verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Listen at this now. The word of his grace is able to build you up. So he's literally telling them to stay in the word, because it is the word that's going to develop them and define them and bring them to that next level experience. Look again at what he says. And to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now see, when you come into this knowledge, brothers and sisters, you begin to realize can't nobody get what's mine. Even if they are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. What is mine is mine. What is yours. I'm a saint. I have an inheritance. You're a saint. You have an inheritance. And God is the one who sets our lines. So what I have, God has determined that it is my portion. And if I want more, I don't need to take yours. I need to go to God and say, enlarge my territory. I mean, that's the word of the Lord. It'll build you up, his word of grace. Listen again at what this word says. I, verse 33, have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them which are that were rather with me. Now look at what Paul says, because this is so interesting. Paul, again, being an apostle, and he establishing churches and establishing new ministries and establishing the word in people's heart, he went to places where the gospel had not been preached before. He established ministries that didn't exist before. Because he was preaching the gospel and did not want folk to say he was preaching for money, he labored as a tent builder to work in one regard to get funds to support another, so that folk wouldn't say he was preaching for money when they didn't understand the principles of God's word. Now, later he deals with this in more depth, and I want to take you there right quick. If you don't mind, turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's begin at verse 10. Because he later wants to establish something to them to help them understand. The only reason why I'm not taking a salary from you all, because you're a brand new ministry and an upstart, I don't want you thinking I'm coming here trying to get stuff from you. He said, but let me lay some principles down for you in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 10, he says, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in what? And that he that thresheth in what? Should be partaker of his. Now that means if I sow, if I reap in the harvest or take up or thresh that has been sown, that has come from my labor, should I not be a partaker of what has been a part of my productivity? Look at the word. Verse 11 makes it a little clearer. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? In other words, if I pray, prepare, and get before God to get a word from you to sow into your life, to make your life better, to show you and share with you principles that you can practice and become profitable from, is it a great thing that you come back when you have been blessed and say, Pastor, I just want to show you my appreciation. Here is the blessing of the Lord that came from under the teaching and the principles I followed that God gave to you, you gave to me. Y'all got so quiet. See, I used to be afraid to tell folk the truth about this, because I didn't want folk talking about, oh, he talking about money, he talking about money. I got a right.
an unmitigated right. I got the unmitigated gall to tell you what thus said the Lord.
Now look at what Paul goes on to say in verse 12. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Now look at what he says. Now, first of all, and this is powerful here, because understand this. If others use the power of